Welcome to the conversation from a man's perspective. This is the place where we dialogue about religion, politics, relationships, dating, and social issues. The purpose of our conversations are to stimulate positive communication, thus creating a more harmonious atmosphere. Under the umbrella of Black Pearl Image Consulting, we also hold self-esteem building workshops with powerful motivational speakers to get you to the next level. Here at Black Pearl Image, we bring out the gem in you because we focus on the inner image first and the rest will follow. So check us out at blackpearlimage.com and book your next intimate conversation with one of our panelists. Also, a self-esteem building workshop with our motivational speakers. See you there.
Everyone, how are you today? I am very excited to have two wonderful people on our show today. We have Cordell McGarry, and we have the beautiful Wendy Napont, a holistic health and wellness coach expert, and I am so excited to have them on to give us all the ins and outs of how to be the best we can be. But before we get started, I'd like to again say thank you for joining this conversation from a man's perspective, and I am your host, Lee Vanna Forrest. Allow me, please, to open with a very short prayer. Father God, we love you and we thank you. And Lord, we thank you for bringing us together on this day. Lord, please open the hearts and minds of all those who are listening. Lord, we ask that everything we say today may be taken as good advice, may be taken to make us healthy, Lord God. We thank you for all you do. We ask these things of you. Amen.
Amen.
Wendy and Cordell, how are you?
Great.
I am fantastic. Can't complain at all.
Awesome, awesome. Well, before we get started, I would like for each of you to introduce yourselves, and then we get right down to business. How about that?
Okay, well, ladies first, please.
Ladies first. Wendy, thank you, Cordell.
Good evening. I am Wendy Napont with Let's Talk Good Food, which is a holistic health coaching service. And I am honored and humbled to be with you guys this evening.
Good evening to everybody. My name is Cordell McGarry. I'm the executive chef and the owner of Eating Well with Chef Cordell, where we focus on accentuating healthy eating via cooking classes, private dinners, and myriad like other ways, but really focused on getting us to eat better as soon as possible.
Awesome. So as you can see, we have two of our experts, and I am blessed to have them right at my fingertips. They are local, so that's awesome for me. Maybe a little selfish, though, huh? But they will travel. Just give them a call, and they will travel. Okay, first, I'd like to know, how did you know you wanted to be a chef, Cordell? How did you know?
Well, I started messing around in the kitchen probably about the age of 13 or so. My mom, she pretty much taught me the basics, and my dad taught me how to barbecue. So I kind of got both ends like of it, and barbecuing has probably turned out to be one of my favorite things to do. But in my early 20s, I was on my own, and I kind of had to cook to be able to get by. And having a bunch of friends, like, around all the time that didn't know how to cook made it more of something that I had to kind of do on a regular basis. So in a short time, though, I started feeling a strong connection and tie with what I was doing, and my friends and their friends, they can kind of taste it. And my love, like, affair just kind of deeper and deeper with food, and friends kind of encouraged me to possibly take it to the next level, so I just listened.
Awesome, awesome. That's amazing how sometimes the need for something turns out to be the passion, the thing that gives us our bread and butter. That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes. But Wendy, share with us, how did you know that holistic health and wellness was your calling?
Oh, I was diagnosed in 1995 with Crohn's disease. I knew that I did not believe in medicine. So I had enrolled in school to find out how to heal myself naturally. And I enrolled in the Institute of Integrative Nutrition. And within 6 to 8 months, I had actually reversed the condition where I'm not on any medications whatsoever. So I knew then that this was a gift that I needed to share. And even through that process, you know, folks were always calling me up, you know, Wendy, I have this going on, you know, what can I do? It's kind of, it was really like a second nature to me. So I just knew that this was where I needed to be. And then also I love to cook. I am vegetarian by nature. And, you know, I just, that just complemented the holistic part of my training and my education.
Wow. Now, Wendy, for those of us who do not know what Crohn's disease is, can you share what that is and what is it? How does it affect our body?
Okay, Crohn's disease is an autoimmune disorder, and what it affects mainly is your colon and your small or either large intestines, depending on where it is located. It is a very painful disorder because what happens is what we have, it's what they call flares, where you get severe diarrhea, a lot of pain, and generally they want to treat you to stop the diarrhea and the bleeding with steroids. For a very long time, I was on an IV medication that I had to get every 4 weeks, which was called Remicade for those that are out there, which, you know, really tears up at your liver after a period of time. So basically, it falls into the IBS and colitis orders. It's mainly in the intestine area that needs to be addressed if someone's diagnosed with that. But that's where most of your pain and discomfort is.
Okay. Now, Wendy, is spastic colon in that family?
I'm sorry?
The spastic colon.
It could be, you know, generally most things that are in that area you're dealing with inflammation. So that is also the colon, the spasms in the colon are being caused from an inflammation. It may not necessarily be in the colon. It may be in another part of the body, but because that may be the weakest area, that is where you're going to have that.
Okay. Thank you. Cordell, how are you reaching out to the public about eating healthy? I know you have a column and you're a critic, but do you go to the public school systems? How are you reaching us with your gift?
Well, I'm new here to this particular, like, area. We did lots of things in Chicago as far as reaching out through the public school system, doing lots of public speaking demos and different classes and workshops and seminars really focused on people getting the idea of what healthy eating is and kind of how they can incorporate it into their daily lives. Now, here in Charlotte, we switched it up a bit. We're forming a nonprofit coming up very, very soon where we're focusing on accentuating healthy eating to the underserved neighborhood. Back home, we call various food deserts, and those are where you really can't get any healthy foods within, let's say, a 3 to 5 mile radius. So what you do is you relegate people to what's nearly available to them. And as we know, we have several different neighborhoods disproportionately with people of color that are specifically those areas that you really don't have any food of value there. So that's something that we are really looking to attack head on with cooking classes, with putting some greenhouses and some gardens in some of these like areas as well to be able to give people a tighter base to be able to kind of stand from. So we're working on that. We're about to roll out in a week a subscription service as well where we're able to kind of give people the idea of being able to reach out to me for as much as you need as we're providing. providing daily tips. We're providing a newsletter. We're providing online cooking classes. We're giving you daily updates on different food issues that affect us and how we can make it a better lives for ourselves. So we're working on a couple of different things, mostly focused in a nonprofit area, but definitely focused on the health education side of it.
Okay, that's amazing. I know. Say again.
Oh, nothing. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, Wendy. I know you did some workshops here recently in the housing community. Why don't you share a little bit about that?
Yes, and that was just like phenomenal. I had just on Friday had picked up the numbers of how many individuals had actually participated. That was over a 4-week period where I did 4 different mini series with the Housing Authority, and I had 55 people attend those workshops, which was really phenomenal because we had them. I had them broken out like with sugar blues, eating for energy, women's health issues, and a weight loss program, which was, you know, really a lot of fun because I like to teach my clients how not only to lose the weight but to keep it off, and that's what's really key. And I had another workshop over there that was really phenomenal with Delta Sigma Theta. We had about maybe 40 people show up, and that was actually a cooking class, which was more geared for something quick in the evening for single moms. And a lot of the residents within the Housing Authority attended that as well. Cordell and I are really kind of on the same road with getting the information out to those that are less privy to good nutrition, but also I try to kind of meet folks where they are and see what they are actually working with and how we can kind of really change that around to make it healthy. It's so much, and I get so worked up, so just kind of draw me back in. But I also reach out. I have a Facebook page, Let's Talk Good Food, where I give out, you know, daily tips. And, you know, I'm going to start having cooking classes at the Health Alliance for individuals. And hopefully Cordell and I can get together after that, and we'll make a really big announcement about really doing healthy eating out, which would be just phenomenal. But basically that's that, and I use Facebook and my website and get out and do a lot of face-to-face with corporations and companies.
Okay. And that's interesting that you said that you and Cordell will get together after this, because I was thinking of hosting a big event with the two of you, sharing with us how we could eat healthier on a budget.
Oh, well, I think for real, I'm real good with that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think just that easily we struck a deal. So let's just do it then. I'm with that. That sounds great.
It was a blessing, you know, when I met Cordell, and he's such a dapper, handsome, sophisticated man. And then to see that he's an awesome cook, I thought, wow. And then I met Wendy, and I thought, this will be a great combination. So I'm just really excited that, you know, the Lord put me in place where I can meet the both of you, and we can get together and really help benefit the community.
Yeah, I mean, and really that's what it's all like about. Wendy hit it dead on. Education is the key. And you definitely have to meet people where they are, kind of take them where they need to be. Because if you try to take people, let's say, from canned vegetables to braised fennel tomorrow, it's going to go completely over their head, and they're going to say, screw it, I'm going to go with what I know. But if you kind of meet them there and guide them on the way, showing them that it is possible, and then showing them how to actually do it, you'll have a higher success rate, I think. So.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to take a short break right now, and we'll be right back. But everyone, you are listening to Chef Cordell McGary and the beautiful Wendy Napont. We'll be right back in a few minutes with conversation.
guess you came at the right time to change my world again. We knew this place, it wasn't right. You sure I love in vain. I've never played this game before. Now I realize when we are wrong about the world, it isn't worth the price. I've made mistakes, but I confess how deeply it hurts inside. We always love towards the stars in the summer sky, cause it's bigger.
Conversations from a Man's Perspective with Chef Cordell McGarry and Wendy Napant with Holistic Health and Wellness, Let's Talk Good Food. Now, we were talking earlier about meeting your clients where they are when it comes to transitioning from, I'm going to say, negative eating to positive eating. And I have to share one thing. I went to the doctor and had a checkup. And I was concerned that my weight was not decreasing. And she mentioned to me, how much sugar are you eating? And I didn't realize I was eating that much sugar. I would put like maybe 3 to 5 packets of sugar in my medium to large coffee.
Mm-mm.
And my doctor like they had a heart attack. She says, oh my gosh, we managed too much sugar. So
yeah,
I cut off the sugar and started using the stevia or the Truvia, and to my amazement, my weight started to melt off. So you're right, meet us where we are, but it took me a while. I had to really work on my taste buds to adjust from the cane sugar to that stevia plant.
Stevia is a good thing. It's a natural product, and it definitely does have its benefits. But I know I've had it a couple of times, and I just don't like the aftertaste. So there are a couple of other products that you can use. Like people think raw agave nectar is a good substitute, and that's not necessarily true. It's still highly processed, so it's not necessarily – it doesn't give you all the benefit that you think it does. Maple syrup is a great substitute, though. Even maple crystals too. And in raw organic honey, that works as well. So there are a couple different things that you can do.
Okay, and you're right, Cordell. It my coffee almost tastes like a little soap. Like soap is in it. Is that the same taste that you get?
Yes.
Yeah. But I have to say, I have seen some significant difference in my weight. Wendy, what other kinds of alternative uses that we could use to sweeten our food besides cane sugar?
Well, I'm kind of with Cordell now. We are all bio-individuals, so what may work for me and my taste may not work for you or Cordell. I personally like the guava sweetener, but as he said, the one that is more natural a lot of people use is maple syrup. But we also have to understand even a natural ingredient, when it's excessive, you can have an effect. So it's all in how we use the sweetener.
Okay.
I kind of even like putting a little brown sugar sometimes, organic brown sugar in things. But my personal thing with stevia is that it does have a very bad aftertaste. And also, if I'm not mistaken, and Cordell, you can correct me, I think it's made by the same folks that make the Equal and the Splendor.
I believe you're correct with that.
I have a problem with that.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, there are a couple of food items that you can use, too. I mean, like applesauce works great.
It does.
Carrots work well, too. So, I mean, you can do it a bunch of different ways without having to get all those carbs, which is kind of what helps put on that weight. And once you cut that out, you'll see, as you did, a dramatic difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's interesting. Well, I'll try something different in my coffee. I don't know if I want maple syrup in my coffee, though, Cordell.
Well, it's not
it
bad.
It really isn't as bad, though, as you think.
Right. Or just come on over to the other side and just have it black. So, you know.
Just have it black.
Just put in a little bit of cinnamon, a little bit of nutmeg, and you'll be in heaven, trust me.
I'll be in heaven. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm going to try that.
Can I interject just a little bit? But have you tried barley malt, Cordell? Barley malt.
Let me write this down. Barley malt.
Right.
Okay.
Which is another really nice natural sweetener.
Okay.
And birch sugar and syrup is really good. It's B-I-R-C-H sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Those are really good to try as well.
Okay. From any health food store, Wendy?
Yeah, basically, I'm a little prejudiced, I guess. I am a diehard Earth Fair girl.
They
usually have almost every and anything that you may need, you know, naturally and not so naturally. But that's where I get a lot of my sugars from.
Okay.
Yeah, Earth Fair is definitely a reputable place to shop. I mean, it's easy for people to flock towards the bigger names of Whole Foods and what have you. But Trader Joe's, too, they offer some pretty good products there as well.
They do.
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have shopped both, and I like both. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's turn the tables a little bit, and let's talk about overall health of African-American women versus other races, Caucasian women, Asian women. I'm from Charleston, South Carolina, and I never noticed the obesity rate of the women in my city. I moved here to Charlotte, North Carolina, and I noticed that the women were a little bit more fit. Still not really paying attention to what the women look like at home. But one day I went home to visit, and I walked into Walmart, and I was, believe it or not, a little taken aback. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So there it was in my face. You know, I said, oh, it's true. Statistically, I was finding that African-American women were larger or more obese than any other race. What can the two of you do to help to get that message across more? It's going to have to be, I think, a blow, but more of a tactful blow. What can we do to help us to recognize that our health and our eating, it all goes hand in hand, our weight?
It does. Now, are you you know, asking because there are a lot of Caucasians that are extremely obese, the women. It's
yes.
just in a different demographics that you may not see them as much,
right.
but they are out there just as well. And a lot of that comes from a lot of different factors. A lot of people are, especially women, African-American, low-income, Caucasians, Latinos, Asians, we as women carry so much. So our bodies are just so full of stress, and stress is really a factor in your weight gain or your lack of weight loss. So my message would be is to sit with them and get with them to see what those stressors are. Find out how much movement they have in their lives. I don't like to say exercise because, once again, that's a stress factor. Oh, I got to get out and exercise. No, I just want you to move more. Because if we
right.
go back in our roots, they didn't have gyms back then when our parents were
right.
coming up.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? So what you have to get mindful in what you were doing back in those days. You were out doing
right.
the yard. You were picking cotton or you were pulling potatoes. You were hanging laundry. You were putting it down. You had a lot more movement. But today, you know, women don't have that. In their day like that. So that would be my message. Let's find out, you know, what this is really coming from, what is going on in your life at this point. And the main thing is what you eat, just like you experience sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely what they're eating. They're having more simple carbs than complete carbs. And
right.
meaning in that is that they're eating a lot of processed white flour, sugar, white rice, and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
You agree, Cordell?
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, there's a huge difference between simple and complex carbs. Definitely are. I mean, and of course, the simple carbs are pretty much anything that you can that's pretty much not good for you. Like overall, things that are filled with lots of sugar, fructose,
mm-hmm.
different types of things like that. And they're especially bad for diabetics because it creates almost an immediate spike in your blood sugar, which
exactly.
is what you want to avoid. So, but just to answer your question, though, and I agree with you, Wendy, wholeheartedly on what you just said. But we need to be honest, though, and that's part of the problem. First of all, improvement is needed across the board.
Yeah.
Obesity and bad eating habits run rampant in every race.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that comparing the groups gets you a fair or a just like answer. Like, I think in the end, we really need to worry about us.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, from what I see, from what I hear, from what I read, Black women overall are in bad shape, and that's just being as honest as possible. I actually have a friend that's visiting, like, out of town, and they said this afternoon, all these women down here that are Black I've seen are big. And I understood what she meant by that. Of course, every single one wasn't, but there were a lot that were just obese. But the problem is, I mean, we, though, as Black men, though, sometimes we encourage our women to be voluptuous and curvy. And whereas there is something to be said about a curvy woman, I don't think anything sexy about obesity. And I don't think that high blood pressure is sexy. I don't think diabetes
right.
is sexy. It's really, really not. And that's what those eating habits lead to. But I think we just need to just take a step back, because it's a lot deeper than just like eating. A lot
right.
of it is self-esteem, like issues. That's a huge part of it. And we don't even look at examples that are as clear as day. If we ask, if we were to take a poll of 100 people that were all Black, and you would have asked them, how many people in your family have a case of diabetes? I guarantee you at least 75% of them would raise their hand.
Wow.
But,
yeah.
And it's not type 1. It's type 2, the one that's beatable by a healthy diet. So we just need to look at our habits, look at what we're doing, understand that it needs to be done, and make that change.
Now, what do the two of you think about the gastric bypass surgeries? I've had one of my very, very best friends. She's been full-figured her entire life. And I know mostly from the way she eats. You know, I've watched her eat a hamburger in three bites, which truly amazed me. But she had a very difficult time changing her mindset when it comes to exercise and eating the right kinds of foods. So she decided to have the gastric bypass surgery. She went from a size 24 to a size 8. And what was interesting, while she was going through her healing process, she had to eat 5 to 6 times a day, very small portions. She cut out certain kinds of foods. And her son said to her, "Mommy, why could you do this before?" And she said, "Oh, my golly, Vanna, it jilted me. You know, why couldn't I just eat like this before? I would have gotten the same results." So, you know, I just find it very interesting. So what do you think about those who choose the surgery rather than choosing to really work on the mental state of it?
Well, I think a huge part of it is mental. So until you get your mind to understand that there's a lot going on here, and there are many causes to me eating this particular way. Lots of it is the way that they were raised. They didn't really know how to cook, so they've passed down bad, like, information. A lot of what we see in our neighborhoods is fast food. And when you got people working longer, like hours for shorter pay, and you got 4 kids at home to cook, the dollar value menu does sound good tonight. And it sounds cheap.
So, yeah, it does, doesn't it?
But in the end, though, yeah, it sounds cheap, but you can take that same amount of money with proper planning. You can take that same amount of money and turn that around and really improve your diet. Like, I mean, it's not possible. I mean, it's very possible, rather. It's very, very possible. We've become spoiled by we think we have to have meat at every meal. We've become spoiled. So, I mean, we just have to mentally shift. So until you do that, I think it's really going to be hard to maintain a healthy lifestyle. It's not impossible, but it just takes the responsibility off of you, and you're not really accomplishing much to me.
It's funny you mentioned the meat. You know, I'm naturally a vegetarian as well, but I do eat meat, Wendy. And when my children were younger, I would cook all these vegetables and some pasta dishes. And, of course, being from Charleston, we eat rice almost every single day. So one day my son came to me. He said, "Mom, can you please cook some meat?" And it never dawned on me that I was not cooking meat. But he kind of made me think, you know, Mom, everyone's not a vegetarian. But Cordell, explain to us why we do not need meat every day, and give us other different kinds of dishes that we could substitute to get protein.
Okay, we could make this a complex answer or a very simple answer. We don't need meat every day, period. The type of meat choices that we make especially are not the best ones for us. There's a reason why when you eat red meat, you feel sluggish. There's a reason behind that. There is a reason why, if you look at some of the games that have been played with the meat industry, even if we take the focus off of the health aspect of it from the food pairing side and look at it from the opposite end, if you look at some of the practices that they're in doing to the meats that we are consuming on a daily basis, cows are being injected with hormones continuously to grow bigger, to produce more. Chickens have been treated that way for years, and we eat our eggs from these same chickens, and we feast on these chickens. They have these products out right now, one of them in particular called meat glue. And what they do is they take pieces of chicken scraps, they put this powder like on them, wrap them in plastic, put them in the refrigerator for 6 hours. It comes out as a perfectly formed chicken breast. They do the same with meat. There is a reason why when you look at chicken breasts, they have excessive white lines, much more than they used to be. They're piecing these pieces together. That's what they're doing. People don't understand there is a reason why when you cut chicken breasts now, it falls off a little bit differently the way that it used to. There's a reason why it tastes different. There's no such thing as jumbo chicken breasts. There's no such thing as jumbo chicken wings. They don't exist. So even if you just look at it from that angle, that should scare the hell out of you. I mean, it should scare the hell out of you. But if you don't look at it from that angle and just look at it from the other end, meat, we were not bred to live on meat. Whereas a lot of fast food companies preach meat, 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 meat. If you look at other countries and you look at other cultures, the history is there. There are reasons why a lot of other cultures don't suffer from obesity. There's a reason why. A lot of them don't feast on meat. They feast on the natural vegetation as we were made to do. So we just eat way, way too much meat. But you can sub it for beans. Beans have a great, great source of protein. You have lots of different products that can give you exactly what you need without having to eat as much meat as we do.
Right. Wow. That is fascinating, fascinating information. Oh, my goodness. You got my head spinning. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will talk with Wendy about her healing and her decision, of course, naturally, not to consume meat. We'll be right back with Conversations from a Man's Perspective. Conversations from a Man's Perspective with Chef Cordell McGarry and Wendy Napont, a holistic health and wellness coach. She is an awesome, dynamic lady. Are the two of you okay? Are you still there?
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. I tell you, this conversation is like, this is awesome for me because I don't really preach to other people about how to eat, but I find myself paying very close attention to what I eat. I remember I was watching a show one day, and they were talking about cows when they go to slaughter and the reason why they slaughter them in the manner that they do. Because if the cow sees or knows that it's about to be slaughtered, then there's an adrenaline rush. The adrenaline is like a poison. And I thought, oh my gosh, how inhumane and how awful that they have to do it that way. So, Wendy, and I know you're a vegetarian, does it make your stomach turn, or how do you feel when you see other people eat meat? How do you handle that, or how do you keep yourself balanced?
Well, it's kind of hard to do, and actually I fall under the category of pescatarian because I do eat fish, but I do not eat any fish that has scales. Seeing people, you know, knowing what you know, and just as Cordell shared about the process of your meat now, and with everything going on with Monsanto, and that's what we really need to get out to help these people understand that your food is now being genetically engineered. So you need to be educated on what you're eating. And I kind of take things from a scriptural perspective. If we go back to Deuteronomy and the things that we were supposed to eat and the things we weren't supposed to eat, and with a little research, and I could be wrong and anyone could, you know, question that, but at the time that Yeshua was feeding the multitudes, he did not give them chicken, he did not give them pork chops, he did not give them steaks. He gave them fish. Okay, so from that perspective, I look, okay, we are kind of geared to more easily digest the fish than you are with the beef, the chicken, because generally, and Cordell, you can correct me, that's like a 72-hour turnaround for that meat to digest, and most times it really doesn't get out in that time frame. So I met a vegetarian. I was not a vegetarian, but I did not eat any red meat or beef. But when I had gotten diagnosed with Crohn's disease, which they first tell you that it is a diet disorder, you shouldn't eat this and you shouldn't eat that and you shouldn't eat. So I was very limited in what I could eat. And even now, it's very hard when I go out to a restaurant. I will just casually say to the person that's sitting here eating this bloody meat. And I'm curious, I'm like, do you really understand what you're eating? Yeah. And once again, if you go to the word, it said that you do not eat any blood. Okay, that's what the word says. That's not what Wendy says. So, and I ask them, and just like Cordell said, I do a workshop on the characteristics of what you eat. So if you eat a cow, I show you how a cow is and the behaviors of that cow. And I ask them, how do you feel after you eat that steak? Just like the man that was sitting next to me with that red, runny piece of steak. I said, now how are you going to feel after you eat that? Oh, I'm going to go home and put my feet up. But see, that's what I'm talking about. Now, what does a cow do? He goes and he sits down after he pastures and eats. He sits.
Yeah, you know.
And you think about the chickens in the yard.
Yeah.
You know, how active they are. And you think about, I mean, just kind of pay attention when people are eating chicken, how they are after they eat that chicken. They are all over the map.
Wendy, that's amazing. I never thought about that correlation.
Really,
I really get into
that in your eating, and when you're out here educating people and changing mindsets, that's going to make you change your mindset because you're going to be mindful now. When I eat this,
You know, I'm going to, just like with, you know, I'm going to give away my whole practice, but just eating pork.
Right.
You think about the pig.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
you know,
so
now I,
you know, it's crazy. And I mean, that goes from anything that you eat. And just like, I know you have a French background. You think about the foods that you prepare with that culinary group is totally different than coming from a soulful perspective.
Right.
You know, you're more light, you're more airy, you get up, your portions are smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just real hard for me to, I don't go out a lot and eat because it's just too painful for me to see people killing themselves, especially us as African Americans.
Yeah,
and Wendy, go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry, Cordell. I wanted to say that I remember I went out to eat with Wendy. I joined Wendy and some ladies one night, and she's very vocal, Cordell.
She did say
to one of my girlfriends, "Are you going to eat that?" And I thought, "Oh my God."
Well, you know what though? But you know, at times somebody needs to say something. So, Wendy, I do enjoy a steak from time to time, but I do completely understand your point of view and don't see it whatsoever.
It's all good.
But no, I mean, but you know, people need to say something though. People need to say something,
right.
And I know with what I'm very fortunate to be able to do as far as espouse as much as I can on healthy eating. I'm going to be the one that's going to prod you because it's gotten to the point now where coddling and hand holding is for the birds. We've done enough of that. We have not seen difference yet. We have not seen changes made. And the only thing that we have seen is the proliferation of bad habits continue and worsen and worsen. And it's gotten to the point now where it's normal behavior. And that's when you know this needs to change now or else. And if it doesn't change, not only have we lost the generation that they already feel that we have more coming up right after that. So what are we going to do for them? And if we don't, it's funny. We talk about organic foods now. That's what they were doing 50, 60, 70
years ago. Amen. When
exactly
our parents were
coming
up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
So,
but you know what? It, what you guys are saying gives new meaning to you are what you eat.
Oh, definitely,
right,
no
definitely,
question.
Definitely.
You know, I can look at a woman and tell you just about everything she eats.
Oh wow!
Just from the tint of her skin and her eyes, and sometimes I wonder if that's a curse or a blessing, but it's just like. We need, like you say, we need to help our people, but they sometimes are resistant because they look at you and feel, well, I'm not gonna look like you. I'm not asking you to look like me,
right.
But I want you to be healthy in the skin that you're in.
Exactly.
Like,
Wendy, go ahead. I'm sorry, Cordell.
No, like I was just going to say, and in the end, you're either going to pay now or you're going to pay later. So you can think that you're saving a few bucks now, which in the end you really aren't, but you can think you are now, and you're going to pay dearly, though, in the end. You definitely will. And your family suffers, too, with that.
I totally agree. I totally agree. But Wendy, I'm going to put myself on the spot.
Okay.
When you met me, what is your, how did you analyze the kind of eater that I am by looking at my skin and my eyes, if you can remember?
Oh, I do, and you know, I just by what you were eating that evening and looking at you, and like I say, it's not dead on, but, you know, the characteristics of people also kind of share. Do you eat chicken?
I do eat chicken. I think I had a spinach salad that night. What was I eating?
You did, but now I want you to be mindful. Try to think. Think about the shape of your nose, the shape of the other folks at the table's noses.
Mm-hmm.
Usually a person that consumes a lot of chicken or chicken as a staple generally have thin, sharp noses. Okay, you can kind of look in the mirror and you know, but your skin and you and your eyes were very, very clear. So I would give you, if I was coaching you, I would say you are probably more like between 85, 90, 10, where 90 or 85% of your diet is healthy, while you, you know, the other 10% may not be so healthy.
Oh, yeah, of course not. That's the chocolate cake.
You know, and my counterpart that I had said, I can't believe you're going to eat that. you know, because we're on the air, I'm not going to call out any names because she may be listening. But that was just entirely too much food.
Wow.
You know, we need to learn portion control.
Absolutely.
And then on top of that, you top it off with sugar because we had a very salty meal. But overall, Lavinia, you are like, you know, you're excellent. I mean, you would not be hard to coach in a different place. Because first of all, you have to be able to see yourself where you want to be.
Right.
And if a person cannot see that, they're not going to get there.
Right.
But if I can make your journey in such a way that you're like, oh, heck, I can do this. You know, like Cordell said, if I can take a can of French-style green beans, if that's where you are, and I can show you how you need to rinse those off, and, you know, I even put a little bit of Clorox on cans because they've been preserved for so long, and you don't know how long that is to kind of clean that off. But then right next to you, I'm sitting here fixing you fresh, homemade French-style green beans where you can really taste the difference, and it's not costing you anymore except your time. What are you going to do? And a lot of people, the reason that they're, especially African-American women, they're in the positions that they're in is because they really don't have something to model themselves after. Like Cordell said, you know, you're kind of just taught this. Just like my family grew up on a lot of organ meats, like gizzards and chicken lizard livers. And, you know, that's just something I never desire to eat.
But you know what, though, just kind of chime in a bit like on that. What you're saying is right, but I also think a part of it is, as well as laziness. And some people have said that some black women don't like to work out because they don't want to mess up their hair. Is there some truth in that? Potentially, but I know women on both ends of it. But laziness does play a factor as well, not properly managing your time, because people always find time to do the things that they want to do. And just like you said, you have to be able to see it. And if you can't see it, then you don't even know that it's possible to get to that particular point, so you won't. So, yeah, I mean, laziness definitely does play a part, though.
Yeah, but see, and that's another thing, like in my practice, though, you have to look at the psychology behind all of this, too. It's like we deal with primary foods, and your food is actually secondary. Because generally, if your relationship, your career, your physical activity, or your spirituality is out of balance, it's going to show up in your body, in your eating, in your attitude. Like you're saying, you're lazy. But a lot of that laziness could be because I'm depressed. It's not necessarily that I'm lazy, but there's something else that's making me in this place. And most people that are overweight, especially African-American women, Cordell, when they are overweight, first thing that goes is my self-esteem.
Wow.
You know,
okay,
the first thing...
I'm going to chime in, Wendy. I don't mean to cut you off. We have about a little less than 60 seconds left. And this conversation could go on another hour because it's just so impactful. But listen, I want to do a quick speed round. I wanted to ask, should I use styrofoam in the microwave?
No.
Yes or no? Okay.
Didn't even have
what kind of pots and pans are the best to cook in?
Copper is the best.
You like copper?
Copper is the best because it conducts heat the most like evenly. So
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's copper, the best pots and pans. Use copper and do not styrofoam. Put your styrofoam plates in the microwave.
Don't use the microwave.
Right.
From a man's perspective, Chef Cordell.
Yeah.
Give one tip on how a man can better communicate to his lady a better, healthier lifestyle. How can he encourage her to go to the gym without crushing her ego? Quickly.
Leading by example.
So rather than going to the movies, take her to the gym.
Exactly.
I like that.
Or just go for a walk. Start small.
Go for a walk. Yeah. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Chef Cordell and Wendy Napont. Chef Cordell, give us your contact information, please, quickly.
Sure. You can reach us via web at www.chefcordell.com or send us like an email, chefcordell@gmail.com, 773-609-3663.
Awesome. And Wendy, your contact information?
My contact information is www.letstalkgoodfood.com, and my email is letstalkgoodfood@gmail.com. My phone number is 704-572-0922, and I offer free consultations, so go online and fill out a health history. It's awesome.
Awesome. And they will travel. You can call them, give them a flight ticket, and they're there. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Conversations from a Man's Perspective. I am your host, Lee Dana Forrest. Have a good night.